This is the first talk in this year for the academic year, and we're delighted to have one of our own, John Courtney. He's a policy fellow here at Johnson Shoyama, and he's going to kick it off with a talk on electoral boundaries from a very personal perspective. Dr. Courtney is, as many of you will know, a renowned scholar in the realm of electoral institutions. He received his PhD from Duke University. And spent his entire academic career as a faculty member here at the University of Saskatchewan with sojourns around the world as his reputation began to grow. He was honored at the University of Saskatchewan with a distinguished researcher in 2001. And he has a host of other awards. The most recent, perhaps, is his Fulbright Scholarship in 2008. John has written a number of books and host of articles. He edited, along with David Smith, a colleague, the Oxford Handbook of Canadian Politics. But probably he's best known for his work on electoral boundaries, and he's the author of Commissioned Ridings, Designing Canada's Electoral Districts. He is, as I've indicated, an expert, I should say really the expert in Canada, on electoral institutions, everything from electoral reform, electoral systems, voter registration, electoral administration, and so on. I couldn't be happier, John, to welcome you to the podium. So on behalf of the school, both here and at the University of Regina, John Courtney.
Thank you, Michael, very much. Can you hear me in Regina? Signal, hand signal. Okay, good. Most of you can hear me, right? Good. Let me begin, first of all, by thanking Michael for the opportunity to present a few comments on the recent Federal Electoral Boundary Commission in Saskatchewan. As you know, it was, those of you who follow this, it was a bit of a roller coaster ride. What I'm going to try to do is take us through in a kind of a narrative fashion what happened, and in my view, why it happened, and then at the end, just conclude very briefly with a few thoughts of where we ought to be going with our federal electoral boundary law, which is now 50 years old. We've had six independent commissions over the past six, one each decade, over the past six decades. Before that, politicians, the members of parliament, always drew their own district lines, and of course it led to a great deal of gerrymandering, some of the more celebrated instances being John A. Macdonald in 1882, arguably the most gerrymandered map that Canada has ever seen. Now, in order to end the gerrymandering, Canada very wisely adopted the Independent Electoral Boundary Commissions. And as you will see when I go through this PowerPoint presentation, the structure is there and the rationale is very sound. But in this case, in the case of Saskatchewan, we also ran into a bit of a political problem with some of the MPs taking very strong exception to the maps that we were proposing. So with that in mind, I just want to take you through a formal presentation, and then we'll try to aim for time for question and answer at the end. Now, the title that I've chosen, Facts Are Stubborn Things, is in fact a title that was borrowed from John Adams, the second American president. Facts are stubborn things, and whatever may be our wishes, our inclinations, or dictates of our passion, they cannot alter the state of facts and evidence. And I want you to bear that in mind, because it seems to me to shape the debate and the tension between the commission on the one hand and what was often said publicly about the work of the commission. And then there's a beautiful kind of Yogi Berra quote. Those of you who are old enough to remember Yogi Berra and his gems, it's by one of our Saskatchewan MPs, "I'd like to maintain the status quo as it is." And that, I think, helps to to pretty well describe the position that a number of the sitting MPs took. Here is the map of Saskatchewan. There we go. As it existed at the time that we first met, the commission. This was a map drawn a decade ago, and I'm sorry the detail is not as clear as it might be, but in the event that you can always look at it afterwards, but each of the two cities had part of a rural, an adjacent rural riding as well. So each of the two major cities, I should say. The rules by adjustment are the same across the country. All 10 communes had them. In a case, start with the 2011 census population in Saskatchewan, which was a little over 1 million people. We have 14 electoral districts. The quota per electoral district was 73,800. The maximum variance that commissions are allowed is plus or minus 25%. So if a commission chose to, it could go up or down by something in that order. And the districts beyond plus or minus 25% may be allowed in exceptional circumstances. Saskatchewan, in the history of independent commissions, has never used that particular exemption or clause. It really only applies in two or three provinces. Labrador is a beautiful example of that, where it is something like 63% below the arithmetic mean for the province. The guiding principles for the creation of the districts are the same right across Canada. Again, community of interest or community of identity is the principal one that is supposed to inform the work of the commission, manageable geographic size, of course, and then finally, to aim for some measure of population equality, that districts would be as close as reasonably possible to the electoral quota. And remember, in the case of Saskatchewan, that's 73,800. The membership, all commissions are made up of three members. The chairman is a judge appointed by Court of Appeal Chief Justice. In this case, it was Mr. Justice Ron Mills of the Court of Queen's Bench. Mr. David Merritt, who is a farmer and president of the Saskatchewan Association of Rural Municipalities, and then I was the third member. And all commissions, again, have the same seven stages that we go through. Just very briefly, they are the appointment, which occurred a year ago last February. The proposals released. The commission met, released our proposals in August 2012. We then held public hearings in the following 2 months. We tabled our report, the final report, in Parliament on the 27th of January this year. Then MPs are allowed to object to the commission report. We then dispose of those objections, and that was completed at the end of June this year. And then finally, the new maps have been tabled in Parliament, and that was just last month, the end of August. Now, here are the facts that the commission had, and here we're starting to get into the substance of this matter. The facts were that the last commission 10 years ago really did not change the map at all. It tinkered a little bit with the edges of some ridings, but for the most part, the districts that were created in 1991 were readopted for all intents and purposes in 2001. So it's really been 20 years since we had a redistribution in Saskatchewan. In the past decade, the 2001-2011 population shifts are as follows. Population grew by a little better than 5.5%, the city of Regina by a little better than 8%, and city of Saskatoon by nearly 13%. The existing constituencies, you remember I had the map up there, had at that point, 2011 census, had varied from the electoral quota to such an extent that in Blackstrap it was 16% above the electoral quota, and in Cypress Hills Grassland it was 17% below. So you can see a variance there that you're looking at, a fairly sizable. And as a matter of course, in Saskatchewan, most, all of the commissions actually, every one of them, from the 1960s on, has created all of our districts within plus or minus 10% of the electoral quota. And I think that's important to bear in mind. And it was our objective this time, when we were presented with these facts, to do essentially the same thing, and that is to create districts within a reasonable range of the quota of 73,000. The average increase of the four largest districts created a decade ago was 15%, and they were all what are known as the hybrid districts, which is to say, districts like Blackstrap, for example, which is partly in Saskatoon and partly in the rural part, or Saskatoon-Humboldt, for example. So you get the picture. And these are known as the hybrid or mixed rural-urban seats. The average increase of the 10 remaining districts was a little better than 1.5%. For the first time in the province's history, 40% of the population lived within the municipal boundaries of the two cities. This is double what it had been in 1968, when hybrid districts were first created. 47% lived in the census metropolitan areas, and that's an important consideration when you think about towns like Warman and Martinsville and so on. You can make a fairly compelling case that they are really part of Saskatoon, bedroom suburbs, whatever you want to call them. And that was a question we simply had to address at some point in the course of our work. What do we do with them? How do we include them? And where? What districts can they fit into? I think most strikingly, from my standpoint at least, not just the population growth, but the demographic complexity of Saskatchewan had changed, particularly in the period from 2006 to 2011. And the 2011 census confirms that in spades. We're a vastly more diverse city than we had ever been at any point in our history. Also, the rate of rural migration to the two major cities had declined to its lowest level in decades, which is, again, a very important fact when you think about the history of Saskatchewan and the outflow of people from towns and villages and farms into the cities. That has now more or less, it certainly has reached a low level, and it's worth bearing in mind that that entered into the equation too. The levels of net interprovincial migration were up, and international migration reached its highest point since the 1920s. So the commission met, and we agreed to replace the 8 hybrid seats in Regina and Saskatoon with 5 strictly urban districts, 3 in Saskatoon and 2 in Regina. And when I say we, it was a majority. The minority was Mr. Merritt. He disagreed with us and filed a dissenting report. The 9 remaining seats would be mixed rural-urban, for example, Regina, Capel, or Prince Albert, which is the city surrounded with surrounding areas. And the rationale to us was very clear. Urban seats were not new to Saskatchewan. We'd had them for something in the order of 30 years. Hybrid districts were first created in 1966 to respond to a set of unique problems then. Urban growth was was modest. It resulted from relocation of Saskatchewan residents from farms and city to the cities, and not from international or interprovincial migration. And I think any of you who attended the public hearings that we had in Regina and Saskatoon would be struck by how frequently the intervener or the presenter, the person submitting a brief, referred to distinctly, in his or her mind, urban problems, infrastructure, crime, daycare, refugees. And this is not to say does not seem there. It's not to say that these issues are absent in rural Saskatchewan. It's simply that they are more markedly pronounced in the two cities. And I think that's extremely important, that people were actually addressing for the first time a set of policy issues that could be described, however loosely, as urban policy issues. And time and time again, we were reminded of that. Certainly, you example that you chose later. The commission was convinced that, and was told repeatedly, that the city residents wanted their MPs to speak to them and to focus on issues of central importance to them. The reactions. The changes were openly supported by SUMA, the Saskatchewan Urban Municipalities Association, the NDP, the Greens, and the Liberals, party activists, principally in the two major cities, party activists, I hasten to add, of those three parties, a number of interested nonpartisans in both the city and the rural part of the province. The two major newspapers came out very strongly, arguably much stronger than they ever had in the past, through editorials, columnists, letters to the editor, and so on. Several political scientists at the U of S and U of R. The changes were, on the other hand, openly rejected by Mr. Merritt, who filed his dissenting report, and who called, interestingly enough, he called on MPs to reject the report, refer the matter back to commission, and instruct the commission to create a whole new set of boundaries. 12 of the 13 Conservative MPs, the 13th being the Speaker, and he took no active part whatsoever in this exercise. Conservative activists and supporters throughout Saskatchewan, some city and a number of rural residents, and finally, surprisingly, the mayor of Saskatoon and some present and former city councillors in Regina and Saskatoon. Now, the reasons that the correspondents gave in support of the changes were fairly self-evident. The change is long overdue, should have been done in 2001 and wasn't. MPs cannot properly represent both the urban and rural interests on a single issue, and often abortion and gun control were flagged as the issues that were really critical in the mind of urban dwellers that distinguished their interests from the rural part of the province. Majority of interprovincial and international migrants who settle in the cities have little or no interest in or knowledge of Saskatchewan. We had a young woman who had moved to Saskatchewan from Pennsylvania, married a Saskatchewan man, was settling in Regina, and she said, "I have to tell you, I have never heard of or seen a combine before." So, I mean, this is kind of interesting because it's a small illustration of how non-farm related some of the immigrant population is in Saskatchewan. Time for Saskatchewan to join the rest of the provinces by creating urban seats. We had a very interesting discussion of that, and the point that I think needs to be reinforced is that we have 10 commissions in Canada, and each one is instructed to construct the seats according to the variables that they see within the province. And in effect, I mean, you can read into that, not to be swayed by what other provinces are doing. And indeed, that's what we did. That argument didn't wash with us. Time to act on the fact that the province now has a substantial urban character. And as summarized by the commission, and this is our tip in the direction of community of interest, residents of Forest Grove, Nutana, and Riversdale in Saskatoon share more common concerns with one another than they do with residents of Rosetown and Humboldt. Now, the opposition to these changes came in a variety of forms. The argument was presented that exclusive urban districts, will drive a wedge between the city and the rural residents, that urban ridings will lead to the creation of large, unmanageable ridings. And remember, one of the instructions that the commission had was to create seats of manageable geographic size. Regina and Saskatoon will each lose a city. Regina and Saskatoon currently have 4 in conjunction with rural adjacent rural, and the argument being by creating exclusively urban seats, then each of these cities will, as the assertion went, lose a seat. MPs from hybrid districts are better informed on both rural and urban interests. So that's an interesting kind of counter-argument to the one that was made by those who called for the creation of urban seats only, exclusively urban seats. Voter apathy will increase, voter turnout will drop if urban-only seats are created. This was a claim that was made. And Saskatchewan is not a large enough province to warrant the creation of entirely urban districts. So those are the kinds of reasons that were offered in opposition to our proposal. In addition to that, the claim was Saskatchewan constitutes one economic and social unit. And what better example of that is than the province-wide support for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. And no fewer, I counted them up last week, no fewer than 12 submissions referred to the Rider Nation. And we were even told that the Riders have only won the Grey Cup when the province has had federal districts. So
we should just have one district.
You what?
What she's only have one district.
Yeah, there we go. Anyway, those were the claims offered against it. The commission refuted a number of these, and I won't go through them all. No evidence was presented to support the claims of a wedge being created or a voter apathy and turnout declining. And in fact, those of you, Michael is certainly one of them, who has studied voter turnout in Canada, know that there's a whole complex set of variables that enter into voter turnout, and voter apathy is a separate issue. And indeed, one could counter-argue, and that is if you have exclusively urban districts with a greater salience of the vote in terms of your interests and your concerns, urban might be the way to go to increase voter turnout and to decrease voter apathy. None of the MPs from the province's 4 geographically largest ridings raised at the time of the hearings any concern about how big their ridings were, which is a very telling comment. Regina and Saskatoon do not currently have seats of their own. In fact, if you do the math, the cities currently share part of 4 districts, and if you do the math, you find with the application of the quota, remember Saskatoon has 222,000 people, you've got exactly 3 seats. And in the case of Regina, it's about 190,000, 193, then it works out to 2.5. So it was, in that sense, it was a bit of a no-brainer in terms of the math. Now, the orchestrated attacks came on a variety of fronts, and I'm going to just take you briefly through 4 of those fronts. First of all, there were letters, postcards, and emails. Secondly, there were the robocalls, about which some of you may have heard. Indeed, some of you may even have received a robocall. The third was the individual letters and emails that we had from presumably people who were interested in the process but who didn't have a partisan axe to grind. And then finally, the MPs in the House, they raised objections as well. So let's start with the letters, emails, and postcards. And believe me, we got a lot of these. This is one from an MP to his supporters. We need your help to stop a full frontal assault on the democratic process in Saskatchewan. The changes would hurt both rural and urban and hand a huge unfair electoral advantage to the NDP. So at least he laid out his cards. The new system would mean that roughly half of Saskatchewan MPs would never meet a farmer, see a pump jack, or tour a mine site in the course of his or for her official duties. So that was one example. Another is in one riding, the MP, Jerry Rich, sent out a letter, submitted this to the commission, but oddly, on either the same day or the day before or the day after, two identical letters were from constituents of his riding who lived 150 kilometers apart. And I've quoted this. I believe such dramatic changes contribute to the dissociative attitudes of the voting public. My concern rests with my constituents, whom will feel disenfranchised with the proposed boundaries. I propose suggested modification that better serve the interests of my constituents. There were 57 identically worded emails from one riding, Saskatoon-Wanuskewin, opposing the boundaries, and more than one concluded with a quote from Genesis. Example four, at one public hearing, a resident of the far northern seat, Desnething Missinippi Churchill, described how she and several of her conservative fellow activists arrived at their talking points. The reason it came up this way is because I, with 16 other people, sat down with Mr. Rob Clark and asked him how we could address the situation. And these were some of the points that we were given that we could address. And then finally, in the 6 weeks between the release of the proposal and the beginning of public hearings, 858 identical postcards opposing the district were received. So when you heard in the media that there was a substantial body of opinion opposed to the changes, don't forget that you're looking at 858 identical postcards. Well, that's going to sway the evidence fairly strongly in the direction of opponents of the changes. And then we had the robocall campaign, which was undertaken in early 2013. The message for those of you who didn't receive it was that splitting rural and urban seats into distinct ones would attack Saskatchewan values. The MPs in the House originally denied any knowledge of it, and then the party soon admitted that it was behind them, and this went right to the floor of the House of Commons, and the Prime Minister was involved. And I will say this to the Prime Minister's credit. In that exchange with both Mr. Mulcair and with Bob Rae, he actually got the details of the process 100% right. He said, it is our intent to object to these proposals, which of course they're entitled to, and it is clearly the intent of the Act, stated in the Act, that the Commission has the final authority over this. And that's really important to remember, that the Prime Minister made it absolutely clear. And I can tell you from my own experience, Michael, you referred to commissioned ridings. I did a lot of research going into that and interviewed a lot of present and former MPs. The one who, in my view, this is long before he became Prime Minister, in my view, had by far and away the clearest understanding of the law with Stephen Harper. I went over to Calgary to meet him when he was then president of the National Citizens Coalition. And he took me through the act, and I thought, this guy really understands this law very well. So I give him full credit for that. And in any event, the CRTC finally was involved, and the Conservative Party was fined for unsolicited communications for these robocalls. Then we had emails from several individuals who raised questions about the suitability of the commissioners to the job. I'm wondering if any of you people have ever been in Saskatchewan. The people who conceived of this idea should be sent out on a bicycle trip to cover the proposed territory so that they could get a view of what Saskatchewan is really like. Once again, a bunch of academics is attempting social engineering experiments and ignoring the reality of this province. And then, Michael, my very favorite is this. Professor John Courtney's presence on the Federal Electoral Boundary Commission does the people of our province a disservice. And this is the killer, Michael. The man is favorably disposed to proportional representation. Perhaps this individual is not too familiar with my work. Criticisms by MPs in the House, very clearly the MPs object in the Parliamentary Committee say they cited the overwhelming opposition. Now remember I told you about the 858 postcards and so on. And attacks were made on two of the commissioners, Chairman Mills for ostensibly gerrymandering, and on myself for ostensibly being biased going into this. In the final analysis, the MP's objections, however, which came back to the commission, were relatively minor. There were really only nine of them, and they were relatively small. The commission agreed to two of the nine and noted important points, and this is, I think, what's really critical about the MP's report back to the commission. On the grounds that it would not serve the interests of Saskatchewan to reject the proposed boundaries and request the commission to redraft the boundaries, the MPs effectively turned down the recommendation of Commissioner Merritt in his dissenting report, and then stating unequivocally that nothing in the record suggests bias or any other improper behavior from members of the commission. The MPs concluded that the allegations of bias and lack of objectivity have no merit. So here we go. After 19 months, 150 letters, 570 emails, 800 postcards, petitions signed by 1,300 people, 12 days of public hearings, and 201 witnesses, the commission's work was completed. Commissioner Merritt did not sign the final report. It was tabled in Parliament a month ago, and it stuck with the original recommendation of five exclusively urban districts and nine mixed urban-rural seats. So this is the new map here. And again, any of you who are interested can have a look at it. In fact, I brought along paper maps as well, old-fashioned technology, but nonetheless paper here for those of you who wish to look at it. This is the new Saskatoon set of districts. The west, obviously, on the west side of the river, except it cuts over on, I guess it's 33rd. And then works its way up, Saskatoon University crossing the river at one point. And by the way, the interesting thing about that is the community of interest is much more clearly identified between, let us say, Silver Springs on one side and River Heights on the other. And I think it goes without saying that that is one of the compelling reasons that the lines were drawn such as they were. And then the same with Saskatoon-Grasswood. Regina, Louvain, Albert Street serving as the boundary until you get to, I guess it's whatever, College Avenue or Victoria Avenue, and then up Louvain, Regina-Wascana, and then the mixed hybrid seat, Regina-Capel. Three lessons that I'd like to share with you. The first is it confirmed a finding that was made in presented in 1994, I guess it was, 1999, by Monroe Eagles and Ken Carty, who had surveyed all MPs and I think a number of unsuccessful candidates in the post-93 election, be the 93 election, with respect to the electoral districts. The greater the boundary changes to an electoral district, the greater the likelihood of the sitting MP will object. And it's logical. It makes sense. It's self-interest, and these people were elected in these districts, so why would they want to see them changed? The reality is that there's a tension that's created. The fundamental, perhaps inevitable tension created through the exercise. The MPs, the local parties, the candidates, they frame their arguments in terms of partisan self-interest. Very understandable. And perceived impact of the changes on their own electoral fortunes. By contrast, the process for the commission is framed by the commission's legislated obligations to create districts according to population equality, communities of interest, and manageable geographic size. So I think that second one really captures what's gone on here. And the objections raised so strongly and forcefully are understandable given the context. You have in this province 13 conservative MPs who were determined and did their very best to try to alter our thinking on what the outcome should be. And finally, commissioners should have a thick skin. If they don't at the outset, they will at its conclusion. Okay, I'm going to stop there and open it up for questions. We've got lots of time.
Thank you very much, John.